Hello and welcome to this episode of the Venus and Vesta Evolutionary Astrology Podcast. And I've got to ask, how was that eclipse for you? Now, I feel, rightly or wrongly, that there is more to come with this eclipse, because as much as I wasn't feeling anything too super powerful, actually, as it happened, I was asleep, obviously, not obviously, but I was. It was sitting on my own Chiron, exact on my Chiron, woohoo. And Neptune at the time was sitting exactly on my Saturn. So in this case, I am expecting the eclipse to open up a whole new era of mastery for my Chiron, because the Chiron process goes from the wounded healer, the wound that is the trigger and the sensitivity that you then become the master of, and then eventually the teacher. So perhaps I can stop going around the same roundabout that I have been going on in that section of my chart that it's concerned with. And I am also hoping that Neptune's presence there will dissolve all the hard karma and hardness that has shored up with my Saturn in Pisces. And of course, these two now are at the head of the same kite. So I'm still working with these energies from the eclipse. And so that's why I feel that there's more to play out, even though you may have had something quite dynamic happen already. And because we have a series of lunar eclipses in Pisces and no actual solar eclipses, which is rare that we just go through that, I'm expecting this last sign of the zodiac, which Pisces is, and the dissolving nature of Neptune and Pisces together to bring about a few endings, dissolving. It's like the dissolution of the monasteries. It really is like these, we're dissolving out of a religion, out of a concept, which is not a religion, out of secular society potentially, but we are something around us, the fabric between us is dissolving. And I feel this particularly for me, something in my fabric is changing. And that's all in my seventh house. It's a really nice, juicy seventh house, isn't it? So let's bring it on. I was expecting something quite big to happen because of those factors. And I still am expecting something, because the eclipses do shift things exponentially. And sometimes it takes a little bit of hindsight to look back and go, oh, that was the year I did X, Y, Z. So it's not exactly happening on the day. And I think I do need some movement in that particular part of my chart. So I was particularly keen to see the eclipse and to look into the sky and see it and set my alarm for 3:15. Funnily enough, there was a few spooky things going on in my house before I did. And I wondered, that I felt was eclipse energy. I did get into bed. And as I did, like fell asleep, someone, as in no one, knocked on the door at 1 a.m. Three knocks. And no one was there, of course. I didn't go down and answer. I just looked out the window and couldn't see a soul. And I knew that no one was there because this door knocking, doorbell ringing, has happened to me before. And so I was a bit like, whoa, they're back. So on that kind of energetic note of I've got to sleep now with this idea in my head, I set the alarm for 3:15, and I must have been on another planet completely in my sleep when it went off, because I had absolutely no idea why, where I was or why I was waking up. And it was just a complete bringing me back from the dead, practically. And then, of course, I did realise, and I jumped out of bed to see, is it happening? Can I see it? Fell over, I banged my leg on my shin, and now I have a whopping bruise and a lump on my leg. And when I finally got to the window, stumbling around in the dark, the whole sky was cloudy and you couldn't see a thing. So I was a bit disappointed, but discombobulated and got back into bed. So I didn't see it. But then as I did get back into bed, remembering, of course, of the doorbell, that I remembered that Steiner, what Steiner says about wandering around in the moonlight of the lunar eclipse. And this is what he says. He's talking about the initiates understanding that the lunar eclipse, any eclipse, is more than just the mechanics. And he goes, and again, When there is an eclipse of the moon, the man of today merely says, now the earth comes between the sun and the moon, hence we see the shadow cast upon the moon by the earth. That is the physical explanation. But in this case, also, the old initiate, he means of old times, not the aged old, knew that a spiritual reality was behind the physical fact. He knew that when there is an eclipse of the moon, thoughts stream through darkness down upon the earth, and that such thoughts have a closer relationship with the subconscious life than with the conscious life of the human being. So that's why I'm feeling like something shifting within. You know, I can feel it in my fabric. Anyway, he goes on, the old initiates often made use of a certain simile when speaking to their pupils. It is, of course, necessary to translate their words into modern language, but this is the gist of what they said. And he says, visionaries and dreamers love to go for rambles by moonlight when the moon is full. There are, however, certain people who do have no wish to receive the good thoughts coming to them from the cosmos, but who, on the contrary, are desirous of getting hold of evil, diabolical thoughts. Such people will choose the moment of a lunar eclipse for their nocturnal wanderings. Yeah, so I felt that was quite powerful and his words were ringing in my ear. But he goes on, here again, we approach a spiritual reality in a physical event. Today, we must not absorb such teachings in its old form. Were we to do, we should be led into superstition. But it is very necessary to reach a point at which we are able once more to perceive the spiritual which permeates all cosmic processes. Eclipses of the sun and moon, recurring as they do in the course of every year, may really be looked upon as a safety valve. A safety valve is there to avert danger, to provide an outlet of something or other, steam for instance, at the right moment. One of the safety valves, which makes its appearance in the cosmos, to which we give the name of the solar eclipse, serves the purpose of carrying out into space in a luciferic way, because luciferics are in the air, whereas the aromatics are in the earth. That's what he means. The purpose of carrying out into space in a luciferic way the evil that spreads over the earth, in order that evil may work havoc in a wider, less concentrated sphere, so that it kind of bursts, letting it release out, so that not one person or something, it gets it. So it's like a safety valve, he's saying. The safety valve of the lunar eclipse, on the other hand, exists for the purpose of allowing the evil thoughts which are present in the cosmos to approach those human beings who are desirous of being possessed by them. In matters of this kind, people do not, as a rule, act in full consciousness. So they're saying, oh yes, this is what I want consciously. They're brewing something up within that's not having good thoughts, so pulling these worse thoughts to them. So these people, as a rule, do not act in full consciousness, but the facts are nevertheless real, just as real as the attraction of a magnet for small particles of iron. Such are the forces at work in the cosmos, forces no less potent than the forces we analyse and investigate today in our chemical laboratories. So that's quite powerful. What he's saying there is that this safety valve is letting us off so that we, you know, that he also says later, you know, mankind has to deal with these and process these, accept some of this. And, you know, it's spread out, so not in a concentrated area, but certain times in the lunar eclipse that you can attract those darker thoughts, the shadow, you can attract it to you very easily. So after thinking of that and stumbling about my room and the door knock, so I just got into bed and started saying the Lord's Prayer and connecting with the Christ, thinking that was obviously the right thing to do here as I fell asleep straight away after that. Yeah. But in reality, it is a warning to us of these unbridled energies being released at eclipses. And the mainstream, as Steiner says, would have us think that eclipse is just a random and mechanical flow of the planets. while they circulate. And oh, look, they just happen to not bump into each other. But we, in our spiritual sense, if I may call it that, have a deeper understanding of the inherent evolutionary processes available to, you know, totally challenge us and also at the same time enhance our lives and push us on our evolutionary process. And also the karmic download they provide, because they're so deeply connected with us. It's not something beyond us. It's part of our karma to receive some of these energies so that we can process them. So there is a deeply mystical element that can help us understand ourselves more truly by the processes of these eclipses as they happen. And because this eclipse, the lunar eclipse has just happened, is in a very mystical place, it's like a Halloween feeling of the veil is very thin. There is a portal there above us, around us. It's not in a place. There's a portal there. And if I haven't made that plainly obvious in last week's episode, then take it from me. The gods are listening. There is a big old telephone there. And it's ringing off the hook. We can get through. So we kind of, as Stein was saying, we've got to be wise and check in with our thoughts and our intentions and give ourselves some blessings and gratitude so that we stay on the right side of this. And equally, at the same level, put your order in. The telephone to God is there. Put your order in. Make your cosmic shopping list now. Because that telephone is still going, it's still open. So I did end last episode talking about the presence of Circe with this eclipse, who I'm such a big fan of. Circe is, of course, the witch, the shapeshifter, and the sorceress. But also, she's a woman who has been banished to an island to live alone. She's out after heartbreak, notably. And who works with herbs as well as magic and has had to protect herself from a bunch of sailors arriving on her island. What would you do? And Circe, in the modern context, is a girl. She's much maligned by the patriarchy, but there is no doubt she has immense powers of magic. And here she is, conjunct Neptune, the mystery, illusory planet. And both of them are at the head of a kite formation, which increases their power 100-fold. And this kite formation is at the head of a lunar eclipse, supermoon in psychic and very empathic Pisces. Wow. There is no doubt in my mind that magic is afoot now, continually. Even if we're past the eclipse, it's still there. The scintillating frisson of miracles, big and small, playing out. Never mind a knock at my front door. Who the hell do you think that was? Tell me. Have you got an idea about that? Let me know. So I do think this is a time to meditate and go on wherever your mind takes you, but with awareness that you want to go to good places and you're not going to be dragged off anywhere. And that's protect yourself in your meditation. But I feel like if you close your eyes, you really are going to feel into something extrasensory, something really powerful beyond your current ideas, and perhaps even prophetic. Let's open ourselves to even channeling, you know, channeled writing, ideas, receiving messages, being open to that. But like I say, protect yourself while you do that as well. So Circe, the asteroid Circe, is in retrograde, and she is backing up towards, she's only a degree away anyway, but she's backing up towards Neptune. And on the 20th and the 21st of September, she transits backwards over Neptune to continue this feeling for us of being able to shapeshift, and for the whole world of this movable feast of us evolving. We are shapeshifting. And perhaps shapeshifting anything that is in the area of your natal chart, that you can change anything. So not just on a global sense, where I really think there are big systems about to be dissolved, such as, let's look at systems of big governments where agencies can actually make and do things beyond the power of government and beyond the democratic process. For instance, I was thinking if Donald Trump and RFK get into government, if you were RFK Jr., what would you do? The first thing you would do would be open those files. And if I were the CIA now, I'd be pretty much burning those files right now because he's going to find out. Because remember, Trump said he was going to look into it and never did. And this is what RFK's been saying just recently. Trump had the right instincts, but obviously he didn't say that. We didn't really have the power. Once he got there, he was drawn away from doing those things. He didn't actually release that information. But if they get in together, I think the first thing RFK is going to do is open those files and we're going to find the truth. And that's the kind of, then you would sack or not necessarily sack, but dissolve, disempower some of those agencies that have held the paradigm that they can go and try out and assassinate someone. And presumably there's other assassinations more recently that have been involved with agencies that have organized those things. So that's the kind of thing that suddenly these long-standing secrets and concepts are now starting to dissolve. And that's what I mean. They might not get in and therefore that something else similar will be dissolved. But I do think that's a really good example of how in this eclipse energy, because it's going to play out over the next 6 months, some things that we felt were sacrosanct could just simply disappear. Let's see how that does pan out. So CSA is backing into Neptune and transiting past him, but she first bumped into Neptune, the master of the seas and the boundarylessness, around about the 10th, 12th of June. And I say bumped into, I mean, if you're a witch, you don't just bump into someone. You plan who you want to see and then bingo, you bring that meeting about. And perhaps we should take a leaf out of her book. Let's cook up some meetings. Who do you want to meet? Think about it, divine it. Ask her to divine a meeting with your boss, your business, your doctor, your lover, whoever you want to meet. Get to it, divining it, making it, sorcering it to happen. So she started this magical pairing with Neptune on the 10th to 12th of June. And now she is pairing with Neptune exact, the transit going past. She's around there for a lot longer. She's around this area much longer, but this is now transiting backwards, retrograding over Neptune on the 20th to the 22nd, so at equinox. It takes us to equinox. And then she comes back for her third passing because she's going forward, backwards and forward again to overtake him and move on because she's a faster moving asteroid. And she'll be back on the 28th, 29th of December with a little Christmas spirit. So potentially there's more magic, this magic, what was happening, go and have a look in your diaries, 10th, 12th of June, what was happening then that can play out again later on at Christmas. I don't think we can ignore her or her magical abilities or the shape-shifting ideas, the magic that she can bring around. At some stage in our far distant future, humans are indeed expected to regain the powers of shape-shifting. So perhaps it all starts here and now at this dimensionally dissolving eclipse. Perhaps it is we're ready for this to start happening now. And what we can do is save a little time for her in our meditations and journals to connect with her immense skills and ask her for her wisdom and for her protection as we head through these eclipse portals and dimensional shifts. And here's me going, someone's knocking at the door. It's not a bunch of sailors, more's the pity, but if it were, that's Circe, please turn them into some swine for me, please. Thank you. That's the deal. And also invite her into your own sacred rituals or use her incantations too. She can empower your prayers of adoration, of intercession or petitions. She is powerful. And so, yeah, you use that energy while it's absolutely alive next to Neptune and the eclipse. Now, this does bring us, because she's transiting just before equinox, it brings us to equinox, which is the 22nd. And I'm always really satisfied with equinox or solstice, as where or why we use the tropical astrology instead of Vedic astrology, because the sun will move into the sign of Libra to herald the equinox and give us the calendar, the actual dates, associated with the seasons here on Earth, both northern and southern hemisphere. And it also highlights the earthly calendar with the placing of the sun in the sky. Without it, without tropical astrology, Libra would be in Virgo and we would be having equinox at Halloween. Hence, our tropical astrology provides us with the very essence of the human life and its processes and our annual kind of processes that we live as a and go through as a community. Let alone the big processional year that it also aligns us with, in so much that it's, we're going to come back to it. We are on that whole 2,000 or 26,000 year journey. We're all on it together. Sounds fun, doesn't it? It shows us where we are literally in a harmonious relationship with the earth, the sun and the moon, and that we are connected to life here. And this is a beautiful balance of equal day and equal night. And I love that sensation of saying, well, what time are we having sunrise, sunset, to really notice that? And of course, it's a powerful time on top of the eclipse energy to count our blessings. And as I said, be careful what you wish for, because the gods might hear you. Equinox starts as the sun enters Libra at 13:34 British summertime. To work that out, but it's also, that's on the 22nd, so it'll be on the 22nd for America and the Antipodeans. So we're all going into equinox on the same day, the 22nd, as this is the ingress into Libra season. And at the same day, the ruler of Libra, Venus, is going to be moving into Scorpio, and that's definitely going to change the mood somewhat. We've been dealing with a lot of water, but with this eclipse and, of course, the precise nature of Virgo season, here is Venus in absolutely at her most magnetic and seductive Scorpio. And she can indeed rock the boat there. She can really kind of make an entrance. Venus in Scorpio really does not want to run with the pack and isn't afraid to claim what's hers. And perhaps we need this certainty to stand up for what we believe and really look at the facts with no shame and with quite a bit of chutzpah. Slowly, Venus moves into a prime position on the 27th September to create a big emotional scene as part of a grand water trine that lasts quite through into October. Firstly of all, in that grand water trine, she makes a trine to Mars in Cancer and also to Saturn retrograde in Pisces, who in turn then makes the trine to Mars. So it forms this grand water trine. So we have this huge flow of emotional energy, which is what a water trine does. Any trine is a huge flow, but in water, it's going to be emotions. It's going to be the psychic power, our empathy, our creativity. And once it gets flowing, it really does flow. It's like a river. It's quite powerful. And Venus here in Scorpio, she's dialing in the big guns. Like, she has the chutzpah, the wisdom. She's working with Mars, powerful Mars, in a water sign. He's not necessarily at his best, but actually quite passionate and quite in bringing the emotions to the fore, the sentiment to the fore. And then with Saturn, she can really dig deep into the fabric of anyone's psychological or emotional landscape here. She keeps this grand water trine, which is flowing with energy, well into October. And when she moves out the end of it, Mercury then picks it up after her. So if you are a water dominant, if you are a water sign, water dominant with lots of planets in water, you can expect some dynamic news or processes to make themselves felt, some emotional situations to come to a head or start some passions to come forth. This could be really lovely, flowing, passionate affair. And indeed, some emotional excitement and some love. Let's get some love spinning around in this flow, definitely. So that could be quite excitement. But as I say, Mercury picks this up. But going back to just after the eclipse, when Venus moves into Libra on the eclipse, and then on the 25th of September, Mercury, he then changes signs too, but he goes into Libra. She goes out one end, he comes in the other end. Now, this is interesting because Mercury, thinking planet Mercury, is about to catch up with the Sun somewhat in time for the solar eclipse on the 2nd of October. However, before we get to the eclipse, we have the Sun making a conjunction with the South Node in Libra on the 28th of September. And remember, the last lunar eclipse wasn't total. In fact, it was very much a reduced partial eclipse. And maybe that was a bit disappointing if you were looking at it, especially after the last solar eclipse where everyone went really crazy because it was a total and very obvious, whereas this was a bit more subtle. But really, this lunar eclipse is not going to disappoint on the emotional and consciousness expanding and imaginative dream world, making your dreams come true levels. But so this eclipse wasn't total because the Sun and Moon were not that close by degrees to the lunar nodes. So now the Sun is crossing the lunar nodes and she's crossing them with Mercury. The Sun is reaching the South Node and that's 15 degrees on from the actual lunar eclipse point, which was, well, that was at 25 degrees. The Sun was at 25 degrees Virgo opposite the eclipse moon, but now she gets to 6 degrees Libra, 15 degrees on roughly. So this is where it brings up the ideas. Is that really? No, it's 11 degrees on. What am I talking about? 11, I'm really hopeless at maths. 11 degrees on. So this is where it brings up ideas from the past where we have potentially, because it is the past, it's South Node, it's the past, it's ideas where we have potentially given our power away, we've loved too hard. And when I say given our power away, in that Libra sense that you've denied something in yourself to keep the peace, that's how you give your power away. You've denied that and gone, I'm fine. Or let's do this instead, or diverted the whole cause so that the peace could be kept. So you've given up of something of yourself and potentially you've loved too hard, too much and too hard. And maybe you've tried to project an image of perfection too much, spent too much money even in the Libra way, whoopsie, and maybe been overly concerned with what you looked like in the rightly or wrongly and in lack of confidence way or overindulgence way, or in the same vein, been judged on your looks and perhaps failed on that score or not, or been exalted for your looks for what you would then consider shallow reasons that have then made you feel worthless and unlovable, conversely. So these are so many Libran themes of wanting and striving for harmony, or even the higher ideals of art and beauty, or even then the evils of money. This is all what's been going on in the past. And I often see that in past life, when I do a reading, you look at someone's past life, highly indicative of what's happening in the South Node, its house, it's what it's aspected to, of that often where people have had to be in marriages to hold. People weren't allowed to release themselves from marriages more than, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. It seems outrageous that people had to stay in marriages when there were chronic conditions, but that was the situation. So you're going to see a lot of that in the past where en masse society held people to their vows and they suffered enormously. And that trauma is a collective. That idea of us all staying in relationships to hold up the face so that the family didn't look bad or whatever, or the didn't have enough money to leave. That's all kind of Libra South Node stuff that can be coming up. And it's going to come up. First of all, we've had the dimensional shifting, consciousness expanding. It's almost like our consciousness has expanded so much that we're looking back and go, well, that's not relevant anymore. That's still in my cell memory and I don't want that. I'm going to be as free as I might be to love who I want. Yeah, so that's what's potentially coming up. And now that the Sun and Mercury are sitting on this South Node, we've had these eclipses and the South Node in Libra working on these themes for the last 18 months. So the Sun is here betwixt the eclipses, And potentially we can find something of these themes for ourselves to focus on, or it's going to happen to us anyway, to work on and to bring and improve, should we say. So then, on 2 days later, on the 30th of Mercury, as the Sun has moved on to 7 degrees Libra, the Sun is there and Mercury then catches up with the Sun and makes a conjunction with the Sun and the South Node. So the South Node's still at 6 degrees, but the Sun and Mercury are at 7 degrees. So that's quite a tight knit. It's quite a meeting, in fact. The Sun, our vital energy, connecting with those past life issues. And then Mercury comes along, so we have to have a conversation about it too. So not only are you dealing with it, it's Mercury's going, come on, bring out, let's talk, let's think about it, let's discuss. It's enlivening it to another level. Or indeed, because Mercury is there and Mercury always brings about connections and maybe indeed something or someone from our past, because obviously Libra is about relationships. So someone could walk in that door from your past, you know, surprise, surprise. Or what I feel like with Mercury there, not just someone or someone who represents or something, a concept of how you were in a past relationship and you get reminded of it. So you can see it happening, someone doing the same thing that you used to do, or a person that represents how, you know, someone that you once loved or something. So there is that coming up for all of us. So check where that is in your chart to see if that's relevant to you. Because I feel like these coming together around the South Node is going to prep us for whatever the solar eclipse on the 2nd of October is going to bring about. Now, this is the last eclipse in Libra of the series in the Aries-Libra axis. And after this, it's moving on. So I think that it's a really good idea to make the most of this upgrade to our relationship style. That's a generalization of Libra, because you do have to check where this is in your chart. But on a collective level, en masse, I think this is a huge opportunity to move beyond our old relationship style from the past, especially if it wasn't serving you, especially if you feel that you could do better or there's been disappointments. So I do think it is worth considering that style and how it could be upgraded, or even how you could help other people if you see it in other people. And thinking that this is the collective as well. So this energy, the idea that humanity is likewise evolving beyond the patterns of past relating. So let's see how that's going to blossom once we've got rid of those old ideas. Now, the eclipse coming up is going to be conjunct Lilith, dark moon Lilith. Is it black moon Lilith? I'll have to check. Because one of them is the centrifugal force or center of the moon's orbit. And that's the one I mean. The other one is actually an object that they can't yet define. But anyway, I've done a lesson on this actually, which is I'll have to go back and check which one's which. But anyway, I love the fact that Circe was conjunct the last eclipse and Lilith is conjunct this one. Two incredible women who both got outcast for refusing to be submissive in one way or another. Go girls. These are powerful women that are conjunct these eclipses. And someone did suggest to me with Lilith here. Remember, Lilith was cast out to then have all her babies die. Or did she eat them? 100 babies a day. And so with this eclipse on Libra and Lilith there, perhaps there's this idea of what's going to be happening with the abortion laws. So there's lessons here inherent in our mythology for women, about women, for us to understand. And these lessons we see in the stories telling women now, don't be too forthright or stand up for yourself because bad things will happen to you. But both these girls ignored the conventions. So I feel that Lilith is worth an explore next week. We can go into some of her stories. I've got some fascinating things about her. I love the story, along with this solar eclipse details. So I do hope you'll join me for that. In the meantime, I'm going to send you an email with the details of the, I've called it the Venus Investor Star Sharla. Sharla is the name for a home of learning, a home of gathering to discuss things and enhance an experience of whatever subject, so that you could have a yoga Sharla. So I'm calling it my Star Sharla, the school. And the actual course that I'm going to email you about is my Evolutionary Astrology course, which is 3 modules. And I've only got ready the first module because it'll take a whole year to go through them. And so there's a course in we'll be a lot of video content. I'm creating the videos now. And then every other week we'll have either a moon circle, and then the following week we'll have a Q&A, so that we can come together and discuss the astrology as it goes through the year. And I like that idea, because then you can say, look at what the aspects are happening now. We can look at them, and I'll prepare lots of charts and things to look at anyway. And also very important for me is to meditate on a lot of these things. So I think it's really good to come together to meditate and to feel into those energies too. So that's part of the course too. And of course, I'm going to, you know, you can do this if you don't know any astrology. You can learn from scratch to read a chart, or if you already can, this is going to update your existing knowledge, because much of what I teach isn't in the mainstream. I don't know if you've gathered that already, but we're going to come together every fortnight to discuss these, as well as the video content, which then you get to keep, obviously. I do hope you'll join me for that. So I'm going to email you about that in the meantime. So if you do give me your email, if you want to know more, you may have already done that. And I'm going to have a 25% discount code for early bookers. So I'd love you to join me for that too. So I send you so many wonderful blessings and goodness in your heart for keeping on the right side of these eclipses. And of course, for the Libra love token, past life relationship bounty. I send you much blessings, and I look forward to connecting with you next week. Thank you for listening.